Sound of Hockey, episode 250. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, that illustrious mark that we've been marching toward for so long. Episode number 250.
And we're done.
And this is it. This is where we call it quits, is at 250. A nice round number. We're happy to be here with you all. This is the Jonas Donskoy episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Jonas Donskoy announced his retirement from hockey this week, and he's got a kind of a soft spot for both of us. And by the way, you mentioned the killing of the spider. Situation.
Well, I don't know if he killed the spider. He removed a spider.
Dealt with the spider situation. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing that?
Yeah, I mean, somebody asked about that because I wrote it in my story. There wasn't too much to it other than there was a really large spider that was crawling across the floor of the locker room one day. And myself and several others in the media corps were like, ooh, that's a big spider. And we all kind of backed away from it. And he fearlessly walked right up, scooped it up in a cup and removed it. So,
oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Rescued us all. One of the many very nice experiences I had from talking to Jonas Donskoy, who we didn't get to talk to him really at all last year, but man, what a genuinely nice guy. Just so smiley, so friendly at all times.
Yeah, and you know, keep in mind that he played with the San Jose Sharks, and he was awesome with the Sharks when I was in my prime, when I was a Sharks fan, including scoring 6 goals in their run to the Stanley Cup final. And he was kind of that perfect depth forward in the playoffs, and he really fulfilled the need there. And so I've always loved him, and I was waiting for him to break out here, and I was hoping he'd have a rebound year this year, but it just wasn't meant to happen. He's on to his next chapter, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, he did cite in his announcement that the concussions played into it. He had multiple concussions, including one that he suffered during preseason of last season. It's a shame that his career is kind of coming to an early end, but you know, he put together some really good seasons. It didn't really work out for him that well in Seattle, other than I think he really liked he seemed to really like it here and seemed to be very happy, but he didn't put up much in terms of statistics in his one season that he played with the Kraken. But
he had a pretty good run, right? Yeah. He's a 4th round draft pick that he was actually drafted by the Florida Panthers in 2010. Would not sign with them and kind of was a late bloomer in Finland. And then he came over to San Jose and played 4 years with San Jose and then signed a 4-year deal with Colorado. And then obviously was picked up at the expansion draft. So I think he had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it stinks. But either way, we loved you when you were here, Donskoy. Might not have been the perfect script to his end, but it's cool to see him here and good luck to him.
Yeah. Don't be sad because he's leaving. Just be happy that
he was here.
Right? Yeah, yeah, something like that. I didn't think I said that right. But hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter. On
the Twitter now.
I'm so out of practice from saying it because they switched it, you know.
But they said it perfectly last
yeah,
week.
Joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we don't have Curtis with us this week, but that's
okay.
Or with
me, yeah.
I'm not speaking very well. That's concerning as we start a podcast. We have a 5-star review to share with you. It comes from Tegboo82. It says, love this podcast with 3 exclamation points. It's 5 stars. It says, I started listening since episode 147 and have been a listener ever since then. So 2-ish years. Time is a flat circle. We used to say that a lot during COVID.
Right. Yeah.
I recently decided to go back to episode 1 and listen to all the ones I missed. So glad that I did. It's been fun reliving the time of getting the expansion team, just remembering it, and also learning things I didn't know at the time. So many awesome interviews. It's also helped the hockey withdrawal this summer. You guys are amazing, and I highly value the perspective you guys share. Gratefully yours, Tiffany at Tegboo on the Twitter or X platform, formerly known as Twitter. That was awesome. I definitely know exactly who that is on Twitter.
Think about,
she's great.
You know, it made me think that we have like such a good archive of the historical aspects of the Kraken, right? Because we talked about trees being planted at Climate
That's
Branch,
right? Yeah.
And remember, Andy would also give the practice facility kind of status reports.
Northgate correspondent.
So anyway, crazy to think about that, right? Like, what a perfect archive.
Right.
100 years from now, people are going to be like, what are the origin story of the Seattle Kraken? Like,
if only there was some sort of audio
like oral history
series. That's 250 episodes long. I know. I was thinking about that the other day, too. And during those COVID times, I know we've talked about it a bunch of times on here, but we would just reach out to people that we never thought would say yes to interviewing with us, and they'd come on and talk hockey, and they had nothing to do, so they seemed to be happy to do it. And yeah, and
they were bored just like we were.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was exactly. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the show here. Do I say we don't think it's going to be a very long one? Do I do that?
Famous last words.
I know. We'll see how much we can get out of this. Again, not a ton of content, but there are a couple things. Things are starting to... You know, we're seeing life. We're seeing some hockey life here. We're recording on August 31. August is notoriously the quietest month in the hockey calendar. And now we go into September. And as soon as training camp starts, it's just no stopping.
Heads down.
From there.
Heads down. We're full steam ahead.
And I did see some pictures from the official Twitter Kraken account today that the players were back on the ice.
Quite
at least
a few
some
players
of them.
Back. Not a lot, but quite a few.
Not a lot, but quite a few. Isn't a lot and quite a few?
I would say there's probably less than 50% of the players are here.
Okay.
I'd say there's probably like less than 10,
but
to be honest.
Okay, but if there's like 8, that's more than a few. That's quite a few, right? Because like
quite
a few would
but
be
is
like
that a
three
lot?
To,
is
three
that
to
a lot?
Four.
Yeah. We're going to stretch this thing out for an hour.
We sure are.
Right? No, one way or the other.
Okay, let's talk the Kraken news. So obviously we had Donskoy retiring. He had 208 career points in 474 games. He did go to a Stanley Cup final with the Sharks, as you alluded to, and he also won a President's Trophy with the Colorado Avalanche. He never won a Stanley Cup, unfortunately, but he did have a award-winning smile. Very, very friendly human. Also, the Kraken signed on Thursday Devon Shore to a two-way deal. He played last season with the Edmonton Oilers. He's not a big point guy, but he did play quite a few games. Actually, I'd say a lot of games.
Yeah.
More than quite a few. What was it, like 47 games, I think?
Last season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
more than that, I think. Yeah.
Was it? If only we had some sort of database that we could find out official information. While you're pulling that up, though, I find it very interesting that this... he got added. So he's a center, which I know we've talked quite a bit about a need for center. He's also a left shot center.
Yes.
So that doesn't quite fit your theory that they needed a right shot center.
47. You're
47
correct.
Games. Yeah. I had it exactly right. So
nailed it.
Anyway, I think it's very interesting, though, that they added a player like this. Now, he is on a two-way contract, so he very well could be sent down to Coachella Valley, who would require waivers, of course. But if he goes down to Coachella, that means that he gets paid a smaller amount there. He gets paid a minor league salary. But the reason I think it's interesting is because we still don't quite know how that fourth line is going to shake out. We don't quite know how those last couple roster spots are going to go. Are they going to hold them for younger players, the Ty Cartiers, the Shane Wrights of the world, the Cole Lins of the world, right? What happens with those guys when you add in another veteran player like a Devon Shore, who theoretically would be a fourth line center if he were to make the team? Now all of a sudden there's some added competition going into camp and just a little bit of a wrinkle, right? Another thing to kind of think about. Where does this guy factor in?
I'm trying to think of, like, it's also insurance to have depth in the minors if there's some injuries.
100%.
You know, I think they had quite a bit of veterans last year in the AHL, but they're going to have to lean a little bit more on their prospects and some of their undrafted free agents that they've signed down there. So the depth might not be there what it was last season. And so he's serviceable and could step in probably in any role. Like, if in a pinch, this is Devon Shore, of course, and John Hayden fits that same kind of category. So it's insurance probably, and he will require waivers. So if he gets claimed, he gets claimed. If they send him down.
Yep. They also loaned Niklas Kokko back to Karpat of the Finnish League, so he will be back in Finland this year. And Coachella Valley signed former University of Minnesota goalie Jack LaFontaine. So how about that?
He still would be probably the third goalie. So he played most of his season last year with Orlando Solar Bears,
ECHL.
One of my favorite ECHL teams.
Great name. Great team name.
Yeah. Logo. But it should be they need three goalies. They didn't have them. So, but I don't expect him to play in the AHL much. But there's always a chance that either Joey Decord or Chris Drieger could get claimed on waivers if that plays out that way. We'll have to see how that plays out too. So
great point. And the TV schedule got released. What do we
want
to talk about
TV
here?
Schedule.
I know.
Yeah. Okay,
sorry.
All right.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand.
I know.
If it's not in the national TV, aren't they pretty much going to play?
They're going to play the same times as the schedule.
Yeah.
On Root Sports. Right. Yeah. Kraken have 13 nationally televised games
compared to what were they the last couple of years?
First year there was a lot more. Last year they only had 10.
Okay.
And I think last year a lot more were on like ESPN Plus.
Mm-hmm. And those were considered national games, quote unquote.
Right. Yeah. This year is not the case. There's only one of the 13 are actually on ESPN Plus exclusively, I should say.
Okay.
Meaning definitely piqued some interest that there are going to be more Kraken games on national TV. We also have obviously the outdoor game as well, the Winter Classic. One thing I want to call out, which is pretty incredible, is the Edmonton Oilers have 18 games on U.S. national TV. Doesn't sound that surprising to people, but for somebody who's been tracking all the national TV games for the last 10 years, McDavid's rookie season, they only had one national game on TV, and it slowly ramped up. It had a huge increase when this ESPN and TNT deal kind of went in, but NBC did not play them too much. So,
see, I actually think they screwed that up because Devin Shore and Kyler Yamamoto are on the Kraken now.
Well, maybe that explains the additional three games we get this year.
Oh, for the Kraken.
Yeah.
But see, I'm wondering if they were like, we got to make sure we get plenty of coverage for Yamamoto and Devin Shore. And so they covered the Oilers, right? They said we're going to cover the Oilers a lot more in the United States. And then, sure enough, they both ended up signing with the Kraken. So do you think that was actually might have been a mistake?
Probably. On their part? Yeah. Next year, they'll do it correct. And the Kraken will have 18 games to cover Devin Shore and Kyler Yamamoto. And but, Adam Larson, right?
But they might screw that up, too. Because, like, what if those two guys move on somewhere else next year?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Life we'll comes at us fast.
We'll have to wait and see.
There's four teams that do not have a U.S. national TV games.
Okay.
Any guesses?
Ooh, I will go with the Arizona Coyotes.
No, that's not true.
Okay. I'm just throwing darts at teams that I think wouldn't drop. Think a little bit.
Give some context around
Montreal US Canadiens.
Yeah, Montreal's one.
Okay. Vancouver Canucks.
No, they have some games.
Okay.
Two.
Should I just name all the Canadian teams? Winnipeg Jets.
Yes.
Okay. That one makes sense.
Keep going. You're pretty much spot on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just naming Canadian teams at this
point.
Well,
think of specific Canadian teams, not the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay. Flames.
Yes.
Okay.
There's one more.
So the Leafs, the Leafs would have them. Ottawa Senators.
Yeah. Right? There you go.
Okay.
What's interesting though here is that Montreal was the only team last season that didn't have any games.
Okay.
And I should point out Arizona only has one. So
it is interesting though, because like I know that Montreal hasn't been that good, but
you think they'd still have a following,
don't
right?
people like the Canadiens?
Yeah, so two
like,
years in a row, they're not having games. Yeah. It's surprising to me. Mm-hmm. I think that's a valid point.
Yeah, and when I say people, I know like there are some that really despise the Canadiens. I get that.
But
I think
maybe it's a hate watch.
Decent fan base.
Maybe it's
too,
a hate watch.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the TV schedule. So we each wrote an article this week, which was exciting. Neither of us had been writing much over the month of August, as there just wasn't much to talk about, and that was okay. But we started to dust off the old writing chops. Is that how you say that again? I wrote a story about A, Donskoy retiring, but then B, just some question marks here as we get a little bit closer to training camp, which we expect training camp to start in 2.5-ish weeks, 3-ish weeks, right?
No official schedule is announced,
right.
We're anticipating around the 18th.
Yeah. So. I just wanted to talk a little bit specifically about one of the questions that I asked in my story, and I mean, kind of tried to answer it, but talking about who's going to make the team out of camp. And I know I kind of alluded to that earlier, but you do have Cartier, Lind, Wright, and Hayden all sort of fighting for that spot. Now add in Devin Shore to that mix. What I found interesting about it, though, is that I've been on this sort of pedestal all summer saying that the Kraken didn't necessarily get any better this offseason. They're probably taking a step back. Now that I've kind of written out the depth chart a little bit and really started thinking about how the line combinations are going to go, if they do get everybody through camp healthy, all of their top nine players, including Andrei Burakovsky, who's obviously returning from a groin injury, I don't think they really lost anything, right? Offensively, they may not be quite as deep because they don't have Daniel Sprong scoring 21 goals on the fourth line. And I don't think any of Brandon Tanev, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Kyler Yamamoto, Devin Shore, Cole Lind, Ty Cartier. I don't think any of those guys, maybe Ty Cartier. I don't expect any of them, though, to just easily rack up 21 goals on the fourth line. But I think you have a mix of veterans and youth that could potentially fill in that fourth line that could make for an interesting depth line, right? And maybe they don't score every game, but they might chip in here and there, and I think they're going to be pretty good sort of two-way. So I'm starting to talk my way into believing that the Kraken are as good as they were last year, and maybe Philip Grubauer takes another step this year. You know, he really started to turn it around there in the playoffs. Obviously, he was outstanding in the playoffs, and even down the stretch, he had some good games. So I'm starting to soften on my stance of I think they took a step back. I'm starting to think that they're actually going to be just as good or maybe even a little better.
I think it's...
Is that okay to say? Is that okay to change my hot take from a week or two back?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting closer to training camp. You got to refine those hot takes.
Right. Well, and I have to go, you know, talk to people soon, so I don't want them
you don't want to
think I've been jumping on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to look at the lineup heading into camp last season and the camp this season, you'd say...
Toss up.
Very, very comparable, right? What's hard to ignore is Sprong's goals. And I think Yamamoto should have over 10 goals.
I think he will too.
But that's not 20, right?
They it's also quite lost, a few.
Yeah. I mean, and Geeky could score a bit. I don't know how many he ended up with last year. And Donato. Those guys put some pretty good goals in for the Kraken. But I think I'm with you there. Like, if they took a step back, it really wasn't that far back, right?
And the fourth line plays. I know that Hextall always says, like, oh, I don't really treat him like a fourth line, but they kind of did, right? Like, minutes-wise, they never played more than 90 minutes,
they would
they?
Play. No, they would play more than a typical fourth line. You know, maybe not the most of a fourth line of any team, but I definitely think it could be situational too, right? The success of Donato and Sprong and Geeky at times was related to that they were the fourth line so that the other team could not cover all four lines, right? And not that they were elite and that you put your top defensive pair, but it all kind of, you got to match up eventually. And it could be that they got favorable matchups. So they're pretty comparable to last season. I definitely don't think they got better. I can't legitimately say that. You could think Beniers might get better and
might take a step. Yeah.
Burakovsky is better. But I am optimistic, though.
Oh, yeah. So optimism.
I just, you know, my success is making the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. Here is the crux of the question was your top nine feels like it's pretty locked in that they're going to be the top nine. You have Jared McCann, Matty Beniers, Jordan Eberle, Andre Burakovsky, Alex Wennberg, Jaden Schwartz, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Yanni Gourde, Ellie Tolvanen, right? Tolvanen also wasn't a piece at the beginning of last year. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a shift there. Fourth line, you have Brandon Tanev. Figure he's locked in. Do you think Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is locked in?
I think he's like 70 to 80%. But I mean, there's certainly, you know, I throw out John Hayden, but it's really, to me, Shane Wright is probably the next. If he does something special in the offseason and works his tail off, I don't know if it's that simple because I think he will work his ass off. But I don't know if it'll be good enough.
Interesting you shifted from tail to ass there in your...
Yeah, whatever.
And then we have Kyler Yamamoto, who I do think is a lock.
I think he's locked
the roster, right? So those are your 12 forwards, though, right?
Right.
I mean, so that's the thing is, like, you still have then Cartier, you have Lind, you have Shane Wright, you have John Hayden, and you have now Devin Shore. So it's going to be interesting, I think, because you then can carry two extra forwards, but do you want any of those guys, other than maybe John Hayden, being an extra? I don't know if you do.
Cole Lind,
I think, could theoretically be an extra.
Because I think he can step in up and down the line. Cartier can too,
right?
But he's waiver exempt. So that's why I'm saying you don't want Cartier just hanging out press box.
But Cole Lind is, I mean, not that he's like fully done with his development, but he is older, right? He's 24, if I'm not mistaken. And to your point, he would require waivers. So that's a potential sticking point if they're deciding, you know, if it's a toss-up between Cole Lind and Ty Cartier, who stays with the NHL team. I think Cole Lind, you're probably more comfortable putting him in the press box some nights.
Yeah.
Just because he's a little older versus Ty Cartier. A, he doesn't require waivers. There's no risk of losing him if you send him down. And B, you don't want him sitting in the press box.
No, you want him playing. And that's, I think, even if Cartier has a better camp, right, you still don't, like you said, you don't want him to be in the press box. And with the waiver claim that you just talked about where he's exempt, that seems, but we are like forecasting how the training camp goes, no injuries,
no
stuff
injuries,
like that.
Yeah, it's a big
piece.
And
it's quite possible there is an injury here and there that always requires a forward to kind of jump in the lineup.
Yep, 100%. Donskoy got hurt in preseason
last year.
So, anyway, I thought it was a little bit of an interesting exercise just to put pen to paper.
It was a great article. If you haven't read it.
Yeah. just to put pen to paper and look at how that forward lineup shakes out. The other one I think is interesting is the Riker Evans, is just kind of what they do with him, because I was thinking about it more, and the signing of Brian Dumoulin for 2 years, it effectively guarantees that Riker Evans goes to the AHL again, at least to start the season. And it sounds like he's getting pretty close to being NHL ready. I think you're kind of making an assumption that there's no injuries, obviously. I think Cale Fleury is destined to be the extra again, assuming no injuries, unfortunately for him. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting too, just to think about what's happening on the blue line there, that, you know, isn't a spot for Evans.
And very similar to Ty Cartier is that he's waiver exempt. Mm-hmm. And you also, similar to Cartier, you want him playing, not in the press box. So even if he looks good, he's probably not going to crack that top six or the three left-handed defensemen. So yeah, I think that's accurate. And Cale Fleury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if, like, I'm excited about Riker. I really am. But these things take time, and I just doesn't look like the team has signaled that they're ready for him yet.
You also wrote an interesting story on soundofhockey.com. Check it out if you haven't. All about face-offs. And this was a very nerdy article that you wrote,
What did you think of it? Because we didn't really talk about...
I was, like, really interested. I actually was. And okay. I'm of the thinking that, like, face-offs don't matter that much, and you really did kind of paint it in a way that I could follow, even though I'm not a big data guy. And I kind of, like, took some things away from it that, like, wait, the Kraken really were bad in this, like, specific area. And your take that, you know, your argument that they need a right shot center, I think very much rings true here based on the data. Yeah. So,
when you could see, and the one thing that was really compelling, I thought, was that last year, and this kind of stems from a conversation we had last week, mm-hmm. About faceoffs in general. And you're like, does it really matter? Do they really need a right-hander? And it matters whether they need it or not. That's debatable, obviously. Toronto doesn't have a right-handed center as well.
Well, they haven't won the Cup.
That's true. And Seattle went further last year than them, so put it that way. But Geeky's deployments, meaning like how he was used in the defensive zone for taking centers, 70% of his faceoffs were on the right side, meaning
79%. Mm-hmm. Actually, 79.7, so you could even round that up to 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
80% of his faceoffs were taken on the right side, which is a right-hander's strong side. And his percentage was better on that side. I don't think it was above 50%. This is all memory for me, but
it was 47.1% on that side, 39.6 on the other side.
My point being is, like, broadly, they specifically use him for the right-hand centers. And I got familiar with another term, FAC. Have you ever heard this?
We used to call that, Friday after class. So that was a big term in Madison, where you'd go to the bar at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday.
Yeah, that's not what it is. Face off and change, right?
Face off and change. Okay.
Yeah. So it's where you have a defensive zone face off. You bring that center out to take that specific face off. And as soon as you win it or you clear the zone, you get off the ice.
I thought you were talking about the stat where it's like a shot attempted or allowed within X seconds of the face off. Face off and change, right? You got like the change, like the loose change. Face off and change. You know, it's a few seconds. You got some change there to spare. So if it's a face off and then...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're alluding to something else that I put in the article is about, okay, so maybe face offs in general don't matter as much as we used to think they are, but there's also something about the possession. And mm-hmm. Allison has been all over this multiple times. I think we talked about that when we had her on the podcast. But independent if they win, quote unquote, win or lose, but do they relinquish a shot against within 5 seconds of that faceoff? Because mm-hmm. the shot against is a signal that the other team took possession and created an opportunity to shoot the puck.
What I think is telling from your deployment piece there, and I think this was the thing that really stuck out to me, was the deployment piece about Geeky taking 80% of his faceoffs on the right side, is that the Kraken coaching staff were paying attention to this.
Yeah, clearly. You know what I
mean? Even though it's like, oh, well, you know, the face-off win isn't, people kind of downplay it, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, now they're going in with, what, 5 guys that can theoretically take face-offs and who are all left-handed.
Yeah.
They don't have a single guy that can take face-offs who's right-handed.
Yeah, and there, you know, sometimes the wingers do take face-offs, like Everly's taken quite a few. But,
sure.
But that's pretty, it's so insignificant compared to the other face-offs. So, yeah. Yeah, I think it's just an interesting thing to keep an eye on this season. I'm not, you know, and I kind of call out, it's not that easy to just oh, let's go get a right-handed center. And faceoffs aren't the only kind of component. Now, I will say Belmar's faceoff percentages are much better and have been. So I think he should overall help. But you're also going to probably see a healthier dose of Alexander Wennberg taking in the defensive zone the right dot mm-hmm. faceoffs, because he's particularly good on either of the faceoffs.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. I'll hand it to you. I thought that...
It was a lot of work.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. It's like very specific information that you had to.
Yeah. And you have to like kind of normalize everything. So you got to give context about who's taking the faceoffs. Are they in the offensive zone, defensive zone? And then like, anyway, I don't want to get too nerdy, but it was a fun exercise.
Cool.
Learned a lot.
Well, go check it out, folks. John put a lot of work into it, and it really is quite interesting. Other Kraken related news. I'm actually going to jump to one of our segments.
Yeah, why aren't we not jumping?
Well, because we're still on Kraken Talk, and I think it makes a lot of sense to jump into everyone's favorite segment by popular demand from whoever put that in their review last week, that they really want more. Goalie Gear Corner!
Man, it's been a while.
It has. Goalie Gear season is upon us. We told you. Joey Decord's mask has been revealed. His old buddy Shifty, who he's talked to us about on a number of times, is once again the artist here. Unsurprisingly, it is an absolute beauty. On the goalie's right.
It is vicious.
Yep. On the goalie's right, we have like a black shadow figure that kind of looks like a Jack Sparrow type of a character, right? There's some similarly black shadowy ships off in the distance on the water. It just looks super cool. It's like a pirate standing on the banks and he's looking out at some ships. You got a mean looking Kraken logo with some tentacles wrapping around it at the bottom. On the other side of the mask, you have some more up close ships. So like the whole thing is like this motif where like you have ships up close on one side and they're in this really rough water. And then on the other side, you see them off in the distance. Oh, it's great. And Sparky's there again too. He's well
hidden. Did you see Sparky right away?
I had to have somebody point him out. So
yeah, somebody pointed it out to me. My wife pointed it out.
Yeah. And she also was the one who pointed it out to me. So she was very proud that she had located it.
Yeah, she nailed it.
And what's funny is I had a really hard time finding it, and I did actually look for it. And then once it got pointed out to me, it's like, oh yeah, there it is. Like it's so obvious. It should be. But anyway, thank you to her for helping find it.
It's like we made a call to the goalie gods mm-hmm. and asked for some goalie gear corner. Because I remember we were like, isn't it goalie gear corner season?
And who delivers?
Of course.
Of course Joey delivers.
Yeah, best.
Of course it's Joey.
Hockey player friend of the pod.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It got me excited. So,
best professional hockey player friend of the pod.
Who would be the
Well, because Allison plays hockey.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair. I apologize, Allison. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hate me anymore than you do already.
Yeah. It does feel like you specifically are always on thin ice with her.
I talked about face-offs. I'm sure I'm going to hear about it.
Well, but I don't know. I think you're, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, that's Goalie Gear Corner. Wonderful to see Joey's mask. It is super sharp. I'm excited to see that in person here in the next few weeks. I also have some shame to share.
Shame.
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 Shame. Shame. Shame on me. So I actually came into this week planning to shame Curtis, who actually isn't even here. I was going to shame him for calling Jujhar Khaira a good BC boy. And I thought what he meant by that was Boston College. And so I actually like went home and looked it up. I was like, I don't think Jujhar Khaira ever played for Boston College. And I was like, yeah, I'm right. And then I like wrote down, I was like, I got to remember to shame Curtis next week because he never played for Boston College. Yeah, he meant British Columbia. So that was just stupid of me.
And he played for Everett, right?
Yeah. Well, I knew that. But that's why I was like, well, that's not right. He played for Everett.
Okay,
he couldn't.
Okay, yeah.
So shame on me for that. Also shame on me. I joined a gym this week and I went in to work out for the first time and just immediately regretted joining that gym. That's a tough
buyer's remorse.
You can't get out of that. You can't get out of that. It's a terrible gym. It's a terrible gym. I won't say what gym it is.
I feel for you there.
Like I tried to go in there's a sauna. I tried to go in the sauna after and it's so crowded. That's my only issue with it. There were like 12 guys in the sauna to the point that everyone was standing in the sauna.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
I looked in there. I was like, I just started laughing and walked away. I was like, what are you guys even doing in there?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be an unwritten rule on how many people you can put in, like, a regular size. It's not a big sauna.
Code. Yeah.
It's not a big sauna.
It's probably a code. Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. So, shame on me for that. I should have done. I mean, I knew going in. I was like, I don't think this is going to be, like, a great gym, you know? But, like, I walked around. I was like, all right, everything looks kind of fine. I'll sign up. Who cares? It's just a month-to-month thing.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? And I just hate it. So, shame on me. We also have some WHL news to share, and it's some... not so fun. Not so fun. Because it digs up some things that happened during, you know, everything that was happening a few years ago, where Bill Peters has been hired by the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and he will now return to coaching. So obviously he was shunned for quite a while because of some things that happened in his past with specifically with Akeem Elu and some allegations against him. And I don't really want to say too much more about this. What do you want to say about it? Do you have anything?
Well, okay. Obviously, this stinks. And he's been coaching in the KHL for the last 4 years since he was let go by Calgary Flames. The troubling thing to me is that apparently Bill Peters reached out to Akeem Elu in the last couple of weeks to kind of formalize an apology, and Elu declined. Mm-hmm. Just wondering why it took 4 years to acknowledge and recognize that he owes Akeem Elu an apology or needs to talk things out. And the reason is because he was trying to get a job or was planning, it was going to be announced. And so he probably wanted to have that check mark when they announced it.
That's at least how it seems, right?
Yeah.
From the outside.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe people can change, and I believe they're in second chances, but there are some things that I'm not sure that that's the scenario in this case, based on kind of actions and what I've seen. I don't know for sure, right? But I'm sure he knows what not to do publicly or to do anymore. But does he really believe that he shouldn't be using terminology or words that are considered very offensive to people, particularly marginalized groups? So yeah, it stinks. I would be naive to think that I never thought this would happen, that he would get hired. It's just kind of stinks.
Well, I'm sure that spending time coaching in Russia has helped improve his views.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
of the world.
Quite the rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man.
You know where I'm coming from.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that anymore. The PWHL. So did we know it was called the PWHL?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there when it got bought by Billie Jean King and the other partner that was...
Was bought,
uh-huh.
Then they talked about this. Like,
it was going to be called the PWHL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, PWHL has announced what their cities are going to be. Remember, they went from, I think it was 8 teams in the PHF. They were going to move it to 6 teams in the new PWHL. I was surprised to see that Minnesota kept a team. So the cities are Boston, New York, Minnesota, Ottawa, which is a little, I don't know, Toronto and Montreal. So Buffalo and Connecticut were, Connecticut meaning the Connecticut Whale, they were teams that existed. Those markets no longer have teams now.
Yeah, now the New York City team theoretically could play in Connecticut.
Right, so. And it's unclear on where they're going to be
based. Yeah. So. Yeah, they haven't announced the specific arenas or venues that they're playing out of. And they also, I read a pretty good piece by Wyshynski on ESPN and talked about how they might play in multiple venues, some bigger ones. So they could play in an NHL arena sometimes and then maybe a junior sometimes based on what kind of event they're kind of having. And they might collaborate with NHL teams. So that's pretty exciting stuff. They're also planning on having a major presence at like NHL events. And they said All-Star Weekend and it's outdoor games.
Interesting.
I think it would be quite the stretch for it to come here because there's some other outdoor games. But it would be interesting if they play a game here around the Winter Classic timeframe. So, yeah, and there's some other stuff about player signing will start as soon as September 1st, which is probably when you're listening to this, hopefully. and then there's going to have like a little draft of players that opt in. It's pretty exciting. You know, like I still feel weird about how it all went down with the PHF. I thought I'm all for moving forward and supporting this. And I think it's got a good shot to succeed. I'm still kind of bummed about how a lot of people put a lot of work into the previous leagues and really tried to make it work. and aren't part of the story. So either way, I'm supportive. I assume they're going to have some kind of streaming option or TV option as well.
All that said, I am genuinely kind of excited that all the best, theoretically best players are going to be in this league now.
It makes it, I mean, being super transparent, it makes it more watchable, right? Mm-hmm. I'd much rather watch some of the top elite players playing than the second tier only. Mm-hmm. So, kind of a late breaking news, GMs will be announced after we record, but it sounds like Natalie Darwitz,
friend of the pod, yeah,
could be the GM of the Minnesota franchise. And like you, I was surprised that Minnesota made it because I thought they'd keep it clustered a little bit more.
Right. So you're right. And I thought that was a big thing, was they were going to try to keep everybody in pods. But also, I mean, Minnesota's been a hugely successful franchise.
For sure.
Like, people love it there. So
for sure. Yeah.
I understand why they did that. But also, when you think about it from like travel costs, you know, getting to...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe getting to Minnesota is not that big of a deal, just because it is a huge hub for,
right,
you know, so maybe flying there is just not that difficult. So, but I find it interesting for that reason, but also because I heard from somebody who knows somebody who played on the Whitecaps, and they were under the impression that it was done. Like, there wasn't a team for them anymore, you know.
Well, and I don't know if you remember that they said there wouldn't be a team in Boston.
Right.
It was reported that there wouldn't be a team in Boston.
Yeah.
Now there is. So, because that is, I was like shocked. So, could be some.
Been a lot of moving parts
news
with
out
this.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of new moving parts. Okay. Let's go back to some general NHL talk. A couple of signings to announce. Brandon Hagel, 8-year extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning, $6.5 million AAV. And Austin Matthews, 4 years, $13.25 million a year, making him the highest paid player in the league. What do you think about that?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I guess that's how it goes,
yeah,
huh?
I don't know.
I saw an interesting tweet that came from Bleacher Report Open Ice. It says that Team North America now has the NHL's three highest paid players, referencing the World Cup, right? The Team North America.
Yeah,
Just got a picture at the podium of Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, and Connor McDavid. They're all on that Young Guns team. So that's pretty cool. I like
that.
Yeah,
totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's our NHL news. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Our first weekly one-timer. Bill Daly reiterated while speaking at the European Players Media Tour that the league has a desire for... That's a pretty good segue, isn't it? I didn't even realize. That was a pretty good segue, and I totally missed it. The league has a desire for a best-on-best tournament in February of 2025. Could it be another World Cup of hockey? I guess it would have to be.
Yeah, and I think that they also reported that it would go... So the next year, they want to go back to the Olympics as well.
Oh, they
signaled
do.
That.
Okay.
And 2026 would be the Olympic year. And then they would do a World Cup of Hockey or whatever it's called, the best on best, mm-hmm. would be 2028. And so it would alternate every 2 years, would either be Olympics or World Cup of Hockey or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that's pretty promising. It's crazy that we're talking about 2025 and 2026
it's not
already.
That far off.
I know it's not. But
halfway.
It feels like, oh my God, are we getting in that range now? So yeah, quite. Very interesting.
Yeah. Our next weekly one-timer. Speaking of European hockey, Champions League, because it's European players, right? They were at the... Man, I really screwed the pooch there. I had such a good segue that was just sitting there for me.
You had a couple set up right with you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was literally talking about Team North America, and I totally missed that. Anyway, this Champions League thing, which I remember them coming up with some new rules last year that had us debating new rules. And so they've come up with some new rules again this year.
And I think we've talked about these potential rule changes before.
So maybe it's the exact same conversation.
No, it's not. It's not the same conversation.
Okay.
But we've talked about it as like rules that we would like to see. And one of them is one that I would like to see.
All right, let's hear it. What are the rules?
Minor penalties are dealt like the same as majors, meaning they don't like expire when a goal is scored. So they continue until the time is served. So you could score 10 goals on a power play if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And on delayed penalty calls, if the team scores, the power play still happens,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the one that I really liked.
Okay.
Because it theoretically did not change how many players were on the ice, just what skaters were on versus
Yeah, I remember you making that argument.
Yeah.
We've definitely had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a shorthanded goal erases the minor penalty.
Mm. I don't think I like any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm kind of fine with, I guess, letting people score multiples, but then I think it's going to shift a little bit, like, the makeup of teams, too, because I think teams are going to be so leveraged into their power play. Like they're going to really try to get guys that are good on the power play. So I don't think I like any of them all that much. But
all right,
and I think about like the Oilers; they were so good on the power play, but then like the rest of their
power
team
play
was
wasn't
like,
very good.
So right? Like, yeah. Well, I mean, that's not going to help Seattle. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's fine, I think, but it's also not happening in the NHL at any time soon. It's just interesting to see hockey leagues try this out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. And in the Champions League, I don't know if we really explained it. Do you know how to explain it? Because I can.
Isn't it? I assume it's like Champions League in soccer, where it's the top couple teams from each league in Europe.
Yeah, and they kind of play a tournament throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. So, and it appears like Yanni Newman is the only Kraken prospect to be playing in this thing. So, okay.
All right. Our next weekly one-timer. Carl Hagelin announced his retirement. He always struck me as a guy that got a ton of breakaway opportunities and rarely scored. So, and he always tilted his visor back. So he was always looking underneath the visor, which I always thought negated the need for the visor.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Leo Komarov?
Him too, but similar profile, I guess.
Okay. I loved Carl Hagelin when he played with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. He was fast. Exciting. That is true.
Yeah.
Very fast player.
Never kind of like lived up to his time at the Rangers because I think he went to Anaheim, Pittsburgh, and the Capitals, and I'm probably missing one team in there. But yeah, he had actually an eye injury in March 2022, that knocked him out of playing. And then he also had the hip replacement or something. So he had a lot going on, was trying to make a comeback and did not.
You know, I don't remember the eye injury happening, but I wonder if he had his visor tilted properly. If that would have...
Oh, man. No, it was in practice.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either, but...
Yeah,
anyway, not to make a joke of an injury, but it is funny that I commented that he always seemed to be looking under his visor, and then you mentioned that he had an eye injury. Yeah. Interesting. Our next weekly one-timer, and our final weekly one-timer. Man, we're really finishing this one on a high note here. Logan Mailloux has been cleared to play for the Canadiens.
See, okay.
You take that one. I will.
People that might not know, he was charged in Sweden for a defamation and offensive photography after he shared an explicit photo of a woman to his teammates. He was 17 years old at the time, pretty controversial. He asked not to be drafted, and it was his draft year, but the Canadians drafted him after all. You know, he met with the commissioner. He's done a lot of things to hopefully showcase that he's changed. And so this is a situation where, you know, you're 17. That doesn't explain the behavior. It's unacceptable. But it is, I think you can change a lot more at 17 than you can in your 50s.
All right. You might be right about that.
So I don't know if he's done all the right steps. And I don't know if he's sincere in everything he's doing to kind of show that he's, you know, capable of being a good human, I guess. But this is one thing I like feel hopefully the league made the right decision here. So
I did some pretty stupid things when I was 17 and even in college.
I did too.
Not like that.
So I, you know, sometimes it's a spectrum and some people go pretty far down that spectrum and some make stupid mistakes like borrowing their parents' car or something like that when they shouldn't have been. So
okay. Well, those are our weekly one timers. Do you have a tweet of the week?
I did. You kind of stole it.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Was it the Bleacher Report one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. Great tweet of the week. My tweet of the week comes from the Washington Capitals, and it's not really much of a tweet necessarily. It's just their season giveaway. But one of the giveaways that they have this year, when the Kraken play in Washington, for that matter, is a Sonny Milano chia pet.
Oh, I did see that.
Which looks really terrible, but I would kind of want one. Like that's a pretty funny
road
thing
trip?
To have on the shelf. So.
Road trip?
No, man, I don't know. We'll think about it. January 11th is that game, so we'll think about it. Anyway, okay, so that's been our episode. We, you know, pretty solid length again in
really?
Terms of, yeah, 50. We're at, yeah, pretty solid length. So.
All right.
Somehow, some way, we continue to fill these episodes,
yeah.
But it'll get a little bit easier here as the hockey season gets underway in a couple of weeks.
Almost there, everyone.
We're almost there. The dark days of the summer are almost behind us. This has been episode 250. Thank you again to Tegbu for the great five-star review. Leave your five-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already, and we'll read it on next week's show. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Do not subscribe on Stitcher.
I think your days on Stitcher are numbered if you're subscribing there. Thank you. Yes. Thanks for listening. Stick taps to Andy, and we'll talk to you all soon for episode 251. Cheers.